for the middle of the week. High temperatures today will reach the 80s across much of the Midwest. Lows tonight will range from the low 60s to the low 70s. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon, partly sunny with scattered showers and thunderstorms, the high 86, the wind will be light. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, a low of 67 and a light west wind. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance of morning showers and thunderstorms, becoming mostly sunny in the afternoon. Look for a high of 84 and a northwest wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low of 60, the wind from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, sunny with a high of 78 and a northwest wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday night through Thursday night, partly cloudy with lows around 60 and a high Thursday in the upper 70s. And the outlook for Friday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high in the low 80s. Temperatures across Illinois and Indiana at noon Central Time ranged from the upper 70s to the upper 80s. At Rockford, it was 78, O'Hare 79, Bloomington 84, Mattoon 83, Carbondale 78. At South Bend, 79, Lafayette checked in with 85 degrees, 89 at Indianapolis, and 87 degrees at Terre Haute. At noon at Willard Airport, a partly sunny sky was reported, the temperature 85, the dew point 70, giving us a heat index of 89 degrees at the top of the hour. The relative humidity 60%, the wind light and variable, the barometric pressure 29.79 and steady. And at 12:39 Central Time, 83 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois, and it's raining. From the Honeymooners to the Biggest Loser, television rarely deals sensitively with issues of weight. Alex Cohen has the latest installment in NPR's series on obesity in America.
About the only thing all real fat people have in common is that they weigh more. Beyond that, they have incredibly diverse styles, backgrounds, and personalities. But on the small screen, says blogger and fat activist Leslie Kinzel, overweight people often get shrunk into the same stereotypes.
Fat people are lazy. Fat people eat too much. Fat people never, ever exercise. Fat people are filled with self-loathing. And fat people are desperate to be loved.
Oh, no! 239 pounds! I'm a whale!
Exhibit A, Homer Simpson.
Well, from now on, exercise every morning, Homer.
Don't strain yourself, dear.
Good idea, Marge.
Homer's been downing donuts for more than two decades, but the archetype of the fat, foolish guy dates all the way back to the 1950s with The Honeymooners, says psychotherapist and pop culture analyst Beth Bernstein.
Ralph Kramden really started the formula of the fat, bumbling man with the thin, capable, long-suffering wife. That's been repeated from All in the Family to King of Queens and The Simpsons and Family Guy and all those kind of shows.
But at least hefty guys get main roles on TV. Weighty women seldom do. Take it from Kirstie Alley, who played herself 6 years ago on Showtime's Fat Actress, furious that a bigger waistline kept her from bigger parts.
I mean, look, John Goodman's got his own show, and Jason Alexander looks like a frickin' bowling ball. And then how about James Gandolfino? He's like the size of a whale. He's way, way, way fatter than I am.
Like the fat fellas, plus-sized women tend to fall into certain stereotypes, too, says Beth Bernstein. They're usually the fat, funny best friend.
Never has a boyfriend, is never the focus of a story, but is kind of endearing. And sometimes you have, if it's a woman of color, you have what we kind of call a shorthand is like the sassy black woman.
During the 70s and 80s, says Bernstein, bigger black actresses usually played sassy maternal types, from the moms on What's Happening in Good Times to Nell Carter as the feisty housekeeper on Gimme a Break.
I don't think you're fat, Nell.
Oh, thanks, sweetheart. But if I gain any more weight, I'm going to have to trade in my nightgown for a hefty bag.
In recent years, TV has gotten a bit better, says blogger Leslie Kinzel. At least some of the women now have romantic plot lines, like the lead character who finds love at an Overeaters Anonymous meeting on CBS's Mike and Molly.
it's a show that's trying, I think, to be a little more normalizing of fatness. But at the same time, because it's a sitcom and because it sort of depends on these short, quick jokes that a huge number of people will get, one of the easiest things to joke about is someone being fat.
Hi, my name's Mike. I'm an overeater. Hi. I had a pretty fair week. I lost 3 pounds. Then I took off my shirt and I found it right about here.
I don't have a problem with fat jokes that are funny. The problem is that very few of them are.
And, adds Leslie Kinzel, why does weight always have to be treated as a joke? Maybe you've noticed that every TV clip you've heard so far in this story has been from a sitcom. That's no coincidence. Most dramas tend to shy away from the subject, and those that do don't always fare well. Kinzel points to the ABC family drama Huge, about teens at a weight loss camp. It was a huge hit with overweight viewers, but didn't rate as well with the rest of the country. The network canceled it after just 10 episodes. Luckily, says Kinzel, an actress from Huge has come back on one of TV's most popular programs. The character of Lauren Zices is a snarky wrestler and the newest member of the singing club on Fox's Glee. Viewers were recently shocked when one of the show's hottest hunks tried to woo her with a song and failed.
Let's be honest here. You look the way you look, and I'm embracing that. I mean, it turns me on, babe.
I look like America looks. And like America, I need more than just a song to get my juices flowing.
Actress Ashley Fink plays Lauren Zices. She thinks Hollywood has gotten better at portraying fat people, but she admits she almost never comes across characters on TV that mirror her real experience as an overweight person.
I dance, I have a great time, I sing, I have great friends. I don't hide in my house because I'm large, you know? And I think that it's unfair that that's not represented on TV.
But Fink adds she finds sitcoms and dramas way more acceptable than reality shows like The Biggest Loser, where contestants are weighed in weekly wearing next to nothing.
Why do they have to be in, you know, sports bras and tiny shorts? It's so people at home be like, oh, they're so fat, that's so gross. You wouldn't treat animals on television the way they treat some of these people.
Psychotherapist Beth Bernstein likens The Biggest Loser to a tent revival, where contestants repent their former miserable fat lives and only gain redemption once they've lost weight.
I'm tired of being that fat guy. I'm tired of not having a normal life.
Take, for example, a contestant named Don, who initially weighed in at 309 pounds.
And a couple of months ago, my son, who is so distraught over my obesity,
Beth Bernstein says TV like that can fuel the terror that people, especially those with eating disorders, have of being fat.
Who wants to be a member of a population where you're mocked and made fun of and criticized and judged?
Former Biggest Loser contestant Danny Cahill sees things differently. He says being a fat guy on TV was the best thing that ever happened to him. He's since become a motivational speaker, and he's resurrected a former career in music.
This is your second chance in life. Don't you wait there for it.
Cahill says his second chance came when he appeared on season 8 of The Biggest Loser and lost more than half his body weight. He says chronicling that experience on national TV sent a tremendously positive message.
And in 11 months, if you can go from 430 pounds to running the Boston Marathon, there's nothing you can't do. And that's what I want people to know, that it's never too late to make a change and change your life.
It's hard to dispute that The Biggest Loser has inspired Americans, says the show's creator, J.D. Roth. People now pay thousands of dollars to go on Biggest Loser weight loss cruises. Each year, the show is inundated with audition videos.
After season one, we were getting 250,000 tapes a year. The U.S. Postal Service quit twice delivering.
Roth is now working on the latest edition of ABC's Extreme Makeover franchise, the weight loss edition. He says as long as there are overweight people in America, you can bet there will be even more of these shows on TV. For NPR News, I'm Alex Cohen.
South Dakota is home to one of the most recognizable monuments in the world, Mount Rushmore. But there are dozens of other lesser-known physical testimonies to men and women across the state. Reporter Jim Kent has the story of a man who took on hellraisers in the Wild West in this audio postcard.
1 mile north of the city of Deadwood, Beside a highway that winds through South Dakota's Black Hills stands a 12-foot granite obelisk. It's surrounded by a black wrought iron fence. I drove by it many times when I first moved to the Black Hills before finally stopping to examine the solitary stone marker. The inscription reads, Henry Weston Smith, the Pioneer Preacher.
And what made you stop here?
Oh, we stopped to look at the monument and the dog had to go to the bathroom.
Bob McDermott was born in Deadwood and appears to be one of the few folks who stop by this site. McDermott admits that walking the dog is one of the few reasons people probably stop at the Preacher Smith Monument.
We know that he came to the Black Hills from Kentucky, left his family there, felt a calling to come west and preach the gospel.
Deadwood historian Arlett Hansen says when the Black Hills Gold Rush began in 1876, Henry Smith was in the thick of it. And unlike his portrayal in the HBO series Deadwood, Smith was successful at preaching the word of God to whoever would listen, wherever he could.
There are accounts that he could walk into a saloon and say, boys, let's have a little prayer, and everything would stop. Everybody would pay attention to what he was saying. They would repeat amen at the end of his prayer and go back to gambling.
That's quite a different image than most folks have of Deadwood, especially since the HBO series. In this scene, Preacher Smith is delivering the eulogy at Wild Bill Hickok's burial after Hickok was shot from behind while playing poker.
Mr. Hickok will lie beside two brothers.
So much blood.
St. Paul tells us, are we all baptized into one body? Whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member but many.
Arlett Hansen says Deadwood's violence caught up with Preacher Smith in August 1876.
A man came by with a hay wagon and found his body. He had been shot in the chest twice, picked it up and brought it into Deadwood.
That was just 3 months after Smith arrived in Deadwood. Most historians think he was killed by the Sioux in the heat of the summer after their Little Bighorn victory over Custer. The Society of the Black Hills Pioneers, descendants of the area's original settlers, erected this monument to Smith in 1914. And almost a century later, Arlett Hansen says it reminds folks that there were people in the mining town who didn't live by the gun, even if they eventually died by it. For NPR News, I'm Jim Kent.
This month, maintenance work is being performed on our AM580 antenna. It'll make our signal more reliable, especially during inclement weather. At times when the work is in progress, we'll need to reduce our power, and some of you may have trouble receiving AM580 as